Matter of fact, that's one of the questions I was going to cover. And is there such a thing as luck? In other words, do some people just have bad luck? Are there accidents? Some people say, well, there are no accidents. Other people say there are. But there are actually accidents. A lot of things happen that are not accidents at all. You know, like I think when the guy decided to write the article on handwriting analysis, when he changed his mind, that something from the other side nudged him, you know. So it wasn't really an accident that he changed his mind. It wasn't really an accident that Artie picked up the newspaper and read Tim Woodward's column. Did you read his column every day or just now and then?
Every day.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't an accident you read his column. And but there are some accidents. I think it was probably a plan of my soul that I had the accident with my hand because of all that I learned from it. But then there are certain things that are accidents. I've had several car accidents I think were just pure accidents. It was just dumb, silly on my part for not paying attention. I think there's some accidents that are just accidents. We didn't need to have them. They weren't there to teach us any lessons. And then at birth, there are some screw-ups in just the process. Perfection does not exist in this world. So we can't go one side or the other. We can't say everything is planned. You know, you meet a lot of people that say, well, I guess it was meant to be that the signs all say I should do this, so I need to go do this. When the signs tell me I should do something, well, I do the opposite. Because the living your life by signs just doesn't work. It will lead you in the line of least resistance. But I chose the path least traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Remember that quote? So it's important that we not rule our life by pure luck, not really look at things like, this had to happen. Because you'll have all kinds of signs. Every time you have an opportunity to move ahead and make something of your life, you know what the signs will be? The signs will be that you shouldn't do it. If you look for the outward signs, they'll all tell you that you shouldn't do it. Like when Artie and I were moving ahead with our relationship, we had every sign in the book telling us we shouldn't pursue it. But we ignored it and we went ahead with our relationship. Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign." What does that mean? Yet, a lot of really good Christians live their life by signs. They say, well, I got this sign that means this. But Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Now, why did he say that? It's because to commit adultery, you leave your true love and you have an affair with somebody that isn't your true love. And in the spiritual realm, your true love is God. And where is God? He's inside of you. The kingdom of God is within. And where do you see signs? Signs are out there, right? Signs are not in there, but signs are out there. So when you live your life by a sign, you're leaving your true love, which is God, which is in you. You're not trusting that which is in you, but you're trusting that which is out there. So you're committing adultery against that your true love, which is within you, God.
Still doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention, though, right?
Yeah, always pay attention. Now, there's certain things beyond signs, like if you see a stop sign, you stop at that stop sign, right? A real sign. But it's interesting how a lot of people put all the attention either inward or outward, and both processes are completely wrong. The truth is not found totally outwardly or totally inwardly, but it's found by balancing the two together. It's the key of judgment is in play there. It's interesting that when they found these kids that have been abused, that sometimes a parent will take some kid, throw him in a room and leave him there and feed him under the door and that type of thing. And kids have been there for like 15, 20 years. And when they put the kid in this room where he's just all by himself, no interaction with anybody, let's say they put him in when he's 8 years old. They discover him 10 years later and somebody blows a whistle and the authorities go in and they release the kid. The kid still thinks he's 8 years old. In other words, he hasn't made any progress. Now, if everything is found within, that kid should be Superman, because all he's had is within. He hasn't had any exposure from without. So this illustrates that you need exposure from without. The without world is very important. If we just let our kids rely on the inward world, their growth would be stunted. Now, on the other hand, if the person doesn't go within at all, if he just relies on the outward world, then he misses out on the spiritual side of life. And so his spiritual growth is stunted. So you have to be stimulated by what's without, verify by what's within. Stimulated by that which is without, verify by that which is within. And what is it within that verifies?
You're by yourself.
Right, it's a higher part of yourself that's in pure contact with soul energy. And it can verify truth. It always recognizes truth. When truth is spoken, something vibrates within yourself when it's spoken. Because that which is within yourself vibrates when truth is spoken. And it knows whether or not it's true. Now, sometimes there's no vibration, but if you're paying attention, you'll feel it. Have you ever listened to somebody talk or read a book and you come across something and you just felt like a ringing with them? Like, yes. Aha. The aha moment is sometimes called. You come across a greater realization that something is true. It just vibrates with you. But you're stimulated from without. Verify from within. That's a very, very potent principle. So people that say everything is within, they're on the wrong path. The Christian world kind of points everything is without. Believe in the Bible, that's something without. Believe in God up there on the throne, that's without. And a lot of the religious people are always pointing without, and they're pointing to signs without. Then you go to the Eastern religions, they're pointing way within. They want to go up on a mountain, or they're worshiping these yogis that are sitting in the same location for years on end. Maybe just eat a thimble full of water once a month or something like that. And this is supposed to be, this guy's really found the kingdom because he's really went within. Well, he's really stunting his growth in a lot of ways. Okay, you had a question.
Well, actually, earlier when we were talking below the threshold of consciousness, and then when we were going through the seven divine space and your original seven that we had going,
yeah.
I kept coming up with the words concentric circles. They all seem to loop. There is always the concentric circles. And when you just were saying something else a second ago, those words again just jumped at me. Was like it's concentric circles.
Right, there's always an overlap. Yeah.
There's always. It's not like you said, within or without, there's always the loop.
Yeah.
Always the electrical energy loop of concentric circles.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's three times that has jumped at me.
And that's what?
Yeah, we learn all these things. She talked about the threshold of consciousness. We learn all these things. And we've been around a long time. It takes about 1,000 lifetimes to overcome everything in this physical world. Now, we've actually lived more lifetimes than that if you count up all the parts of ourselves. because in the past we have been, that which is us has been fragmented. And the fragmented parts of ourselves pass through all the kingdoms. So there's memories of all the kingdoms, from the mineral, vegetable, animal, up to us. And the whole part of ourself as human beings takes about 1,000 lifetimes. At the top of your head, there is the 1,000 petaled lotus. And each one of those petals is symbolic of a lifetime as a human being. Each one of the petals is like releases an energy, a new energy into your system. Now, sometimes it may take 2 lifetimes to release 1 petal. Like if you died young or didn't or screwed up in life, you may have to go through a couple lifetimes to release the energy of that one petal.
Could you get more than 1 petal in a lifetime if you've been reborn several times in a lifetime?
It may be possible. That's an interesting thought.
What did you say?
That maybe you can create more than 1 petal in a lifetime if you are reborn several times in a life.
As Christ yeah, like. Like all of our centers have petals. Like the heart center has 12 petals. And there's 2 aspects of it, for instance, love, wisdom. There's 6 wisdom petals and there's 6 love petals. And they unfold. Usually wouldn't unfold more than 1 in a particular lifetime. But if 1 is set to unfold, it releases an energy. And when that energy is released, if you don't go with it, then you'll have problems like some type of heart problem of some type. And so that means you're not handling the energy correctly. When you learn to handle the energy correctly, then you'll be healed of that particular problem. Same thing with the petals of your solar plexus. When they unfold and you have new emotional energies released, if you don't handle them correctly, then you'll have problems in this area of the body in particular. Yeah, Brian.
I know something about the love wisdom, but I think of wisdom, I think of, mind thinking. Why does wisdom reside in the heart? Why the wisdom not in the
Well,
heart?
It resides two places. There's also in the top of the head, there's a 12 petal lotus also. And it corresponds to the heart center. Sometimes it's called the heart center and the head. So you have really 2 sets of 2 heart centers, 1 in the head and 1 in the heart. And right, and they interplay. And the wisdom aspect is an extension of the love energy, but it's love in action, so to speak. Whereas the love petals is more love and feeling. You sense the feeling of love, of what it is, of divine love. And the solar plexus, it governs things like romantic love, and jealousy, and everything associated with the lower.
So axisurs would assist to open up love wisdom petals, for instance? Is that it?
Yeah. Service with pure intent would help to open them up. Yeah, and they don't always open up at the same time. You have the lower centers normally open up first, and then there is like a lighted candle. You have a lighted candle, put it on another candle, it lights that, and then it lights the ones above. And so it's like you're lighting candles, and then the candles light other centers. But they don't all open in sequence. So your solar plexus may be open 80%. Your heart center may be open 50%. Say your throat center is 30%. Your head center may be 10%. So they don't all open all at the same time. You don't have one open 100% and then the other open 100%, but you'll have one center open up. So when your emotional centers, for instance, the solar plexus is completely open, you'll be very passionate and have very strong feelings. But if your other higher centers are open up, you'll have power to control those strong feelings. So you'll find the very evolved people usually have very strong feelings, but they'll have control over them. Now, Steve Jobs may be an exception. some of them, he was very evolved, but he had very strong feelings, but how much control he had over them, he kind of acted sometimes like he didn't have control over them, but I think he was more mental than he was given credit for, because he used his passion in such a way as to really inspire people to get things done. I feel kind of bad now he's dead. Apple hasn't really put out anything new outside of just fine-tuned a few things. They've lost their initiate. So I hope they can continue to progress. Okay, just got a few more minutes. Any more questions? Yeah.
Where do feelings come from?
Ooh. Where they come from? Well, they come from the... there's lower and higher feelings, just like there's lower and higher mind. But they come from the mind of God, actually, because the mind of God created these, the mind, the feelings, and how everything works. Just like the mind of God created the cells in our body, it created the invisible things, too. It's like electricity was created by some process. And some type of electrical energy sent in the right direction in a certain way, intelligent way, creates feelings. And these feelings are not us, like it says in the first book of the Immortal. The feelings are not you, but something that you use. Just like your car is not you. Some people identify so much with their car, if they got a new sports car or something, that it's almost like they and their car are one. But our feelings and us, our feelings are not us. Our feelings are something created that we use. Now, I don't have enough technology to go create a feeling, so I couldn't tell you exactly how the intelligence of God went about doing it, but he did it. He created the intelligence, divine intelligence, created the universe, everything in it, from feelings to mind, the power to reason. All these things are tools that are given to our essential life to use. Okay, any other question?
Do you have a schedule for tomorrow?
Did you happen to bring that, Artie?